You are listening to I Could Get Into This, a podcast where Leah and Brett talk about different things that they could get into, but also things that you could get into as well. That's enough from voiceover, Brett. So now you're going to listen in on the conversation that probably already has started. Brett and Leah, they go on for a while, and why do I talk about myself in the third person? If a person is a voiceover talking about themselves, is that the third person, or as a voiceover, are you breaking some kind of fourth or fifth wall? Who knows? Anyway, here is Brett and Leah. Here is myself and Leah. Here is a version of myself with a version of Leah that is not here, but Leah isn't here anyway. You know what? Just go and listen to the show. Otherwise, if we don't record,
it's on. We're live.
We can't really think that this is going to happen. So I'm going to say this.
All right.
I'm going to start off with this. I just got my ass kicked not too long ago. I went to Health Source Chiropractic.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't so much the adjustment, but it was I'm starting to do like PT with them.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, my body is so sore.
Going through that for her. Oh God, I think she hurt her back and shoulder, and she's just like, I feel like I've like physically been attacked after going through PT. But I mean, like, you're trying to get those muscles to relax, and they don't want to.
Oh yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't envy that, but you know, it's steps in the right direction to feeling better, right?
Right. That's what I tell myself. So, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, I can just jump right into this. So, on Facebook, we had someone that actually said, hey, I'm getting into this, and I was going to say, I'm going to talk about it, and it's related to this. So,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No bullshit. And we're just going to go right into this.
All right. Guns blazing. I like it.
So, we had, Gretchen, say that, plays with fire. That's her derby name. She was saying that she is getting into, how'd she say it? I don't have it in front of me. Weightlifting the correct way.
Yes. Which and, is key.
Yeah. Well, and I said, you know what? That's something I'm really going to get into, because I got kind of a qualm with weightlifting and just exercise in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gym culture and just exercise.
I'm gonna call it that.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of worked in with the PT that I had today. I was thinking about the whole time while I was doing it, is that one of the things that I hate about going to the gym, not that I do it much, but when I would go to the gym, I would always feel just always second guessing. Am I doing this right? Am I doing the right form? Because if I don't do the right form, I'm not going to get what I want out of it. And then I'm going to, you know, and it just goes down the downward spiral. And so when Gretchen said, you know, to weightlift the right way, I was like, oh, that's what I want. That I just want to have someone to be able to say, do this, do that, don't do that. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, type thing. Because that's the part, that's what I want to get out of this. That's, I don't want to do this just to needlessly say, yep, I did it. You know, I was exercising for 45 minutes, and the whole time I was just putting my arms up and down, and I didn't
Wayne know dangle my arms around. That's how you do this, right? I'm doing this right.
Yeah. And if I'm going to be sore, I want to be sore the right way or for the right reasons.
I've, you know, this is kind of my struggle, because I have a love-hate relationship with the gym. Like, I like physically challenging myself because I'm not in competition with anybody else. I want to feel better. I want to be strong. But the challenge I have is I also hate gym culture. Like, my favorite gym in town is the Center for Active Generations. It is the senior center. It is 18 and over, so I think I might be one of the youngest members. Not there's many of us, but I thought it was great because I knew that if I was going to work out, like, no one was going to be giving the stink eye, like, oh, I'm going for the 15 pounders. I like that about it because I've also gone to like high-end gyms. I remember going to a couple like CrossFit like places and just fucking my back up because the person was trying to teach me how to lift, but it was more important to get my reps in. And I just end up ruining my back. And then when I like contacted them and was just like, hey, was I doing that right? They're like, well, you know, it's more important to just, you know, like really engage your core than it is to like work on form. I'm like, fuck this. No. Not worth it.
No. And that's the thing. It's just like, I know that the basis for everything with working out and anything that you do, you want to have your core to be the reason for it to be. You need that to be strengthened out before you do anything else away from your core, right? So, yeah. I don't know.
So that's but, like, yeah. I also find like weightlifting very empowering, you know, it could kind of be that like meditative Zen sort of thing. I've been trying to get back into it. And a lot of it for me is just like scheduling. Cause it's just like me at home. I was doing pretty good for a while there. I'd get up in the morning. I'd watch Schitt's Creek.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah.
Which works out great for timing your workout. But now I've been staying up too late working on projects, which means waking up early is just not in the cards. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah,
I'd like to get back to a gym where I feel like comfortable working out. But like I said, the senior center is probably not going to open their gym again for a while.
Yeah.
No, so I think I'll just have to wait till fall. But I mean, I think that's awesome, especially for Gretchen, because I feel like women, you know, a lot of us don't feel like we should be working, like lifting weights. Like, oh, you don't want to get muscular and bulky. You're like, yeah, fuck you. I want to be strong. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, more power to you ladies and gents that want to lift weights.
Absolutely. Yeah. More power to you because I don't have the determination to do that. I don't have the willpower. And that's another reason why I just need to have someone to tell me that I'm doing it right or doing it wrong, because I know I'm just going to slough off and I'm just going to do it half-assed just because I want to get it done. But I don't know.
You know, and this, I've also found some really good videos online. This is something I realized this week is like, man, I don't think we really appreciate how spoiled we are that we can just go on the internet and watch videos to teach you how to do literally anything. This blows my mind on a regular basis, but like this last week I decided to trim my own bangs. This is not a new journey. I think every woman has like spends their life perpetually every 30 days deciding whether or not they want bangs.
Yeah.
Also learned that they're called fringe. They're not called bangs anymore, but whatever. Here nor there. Hairdressers, fringe. Tweet at us. I don't care. But I found a video that showed me not just how to like cut my own bangs, but how I'm supposed to actually like blow dry them. It's like, oh, wow. Should I use this in high school? Would have been a lot more or fewer embarrassing photos of Leah, but whatever. And I was like, this isn't even fair. I've always been self-conscious because I'm just like, these kids these days, they look way better than I did. Like, my makeup was terrible. And part of it, I think, is just like me realizing there was bad trends in the 90s. It's also because the only way I could figure out how to do my hair and makeup was from like a magazine I got, the same place that I got my eyeshadow.
Right.
Now exactly. People are like, oh yeah, I can watch all these videos and I can watch like professional makeup artists show me the tips and buy their makeup. And I'm over there like, I'm using whiteout for nail polish. Pretty cool. I'm going to take some Kool-Aid and dye my hair so my undercut stands out. Talk to you guys later. Howdy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
90s were hard, guys. That's what I'm trying to say.
So nowadays, they would call those life hacks, though. I mean, that'd be a part of 5-minute crafts, being able to put whiteout on your fingernails.
Oh, man, yeah. I think that's because I saw like white nail polish at the dollar store, my go-to makeup and nail polish supply house.
The dollar store?
White nail, yes. I will argue the dollar store nail polish, though, it's like maybe it's just like excess automotive paint. Like this shit will stay on for 2 weeks.
Wow.
I can buy the really nice stuff and it won't last that long. So I might as well just go cheap and paint my nails white.
Exactly.
I said it was going to get girly.
That's okay. I will say your bangs do look very nice.
Banging?
So. Ooh, yeah.
I kind of decided they need to go like a little bit shorter, but this is also the lessons you learn is you never go straight for the short bang right out the gate.
No. I think you got a good length right now.
I think it's got to be just above the eyebrows or else, you know, then does, I kind of look I like a little it... too angry. Yeah. I also want to compliment you on your bang length. It's good.
Oh, really, thank you. Thank you. It's very high.
Your face.
Yeah, my bangs are very high.
You're like, I trim them frequently. Right. They get out of hand.
I've had so many bad experiences with bangs in the past. I can't even tell you.
You see, the problem is you get like one good picture with your hair a certain way, and then it like pops up on your feed. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I looked good that way. And they're like, no, it was like one day I took a picture and I looked good. And the rest of the time it was just garbage.
Well, it's that one picture that you always can have in your mind that you can always think, yeah, that's what I look like all
yeah.
time. That's what everyone ever sees.
I had good lighting and I had like a good makeup day. There was no like breakouts.
Right.
Which, like, let's not kid ourselves. Anyone has not discovered this yet, you will have acne the rest of your life. Don't believe the lies. Sorry.
No. See, and that's the thing.
It's
one of those lies. It isn't fair. That's one of those lies that it infuriates me. It's just like, yeah, once you get out of puberty, you're going to not have pimples anymore. Psst, yeah, no. I'm 42 years
that's
old,
like
but
saying,
I still have that.
Once you become an adult and get out of college, you're going to have all the self-confidence and you're going to be like a full adult and making decisions. And
no. At some point in your life, you're just going to say, I don't give a shit. And you're just going to do whatever the hell you want.
You know what? It's a fantastic tipping point.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You just care less and less about other people. And that's where I think true happiness lies.
And it's not care less and less about other people in a, what am I trying to say? Anarchistic type of way where you want to have everyone die or nihilist.
No,
type
it's
of
not
way,
like
you know?
A dark one. It's just like,
right. It's just like
know?
A, oh, fuck
I stopped
it. I don't
listening
care.
To the Mean Girls. You know.
Yeah. I started listening to what I want to do myself and just said, that's it. Yeah. No, that's the part where everyone needs to feel comfortable in their own skin a lot sooner than they really
do. Yeah, it super sucks because, like, you know, when you're like at your peak physical attractiveness is when you're like the most self-conscious.
Yeah.
And it just like starts declining and then you're just like, yeah.
Well, it also sucks that happens at such a young age too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, having your kind of your peak to be your late teens and early 20s, maybe mid 20s, you know, maybe you can squeak it to your 30, but then to have kind of everything go to hell after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've peaked yet. It's sort of like I always tell everybody, you know, I don't have to worry about not being cool because I was never cool. So there.
Well, that's the thing about peaking is that I never even got close. I kind of just stayed
mostly a flat line, but hey, yeah. I'm having fun.
Exactly.
I think we're doing okay. I mean, look at that. We're hosting our own podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going places. I think you probably interacted with my friend Aaron on Facebook because he's just like, you have a podcast? And like, I know, I'm pretty cool.
I know.
We've bamboozled many.
Oh, if only they knew.
If only they knew. We say in our matching outfits.
Right.
We should coordinate that next time. Let's get some matching outfits.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I mean, other than Johnstone shirts, that's kind of cheating.
Yeah, that's true. I do have. Well, truth be told, I can't fit into any of my Johnstone shirts anymore. So those all went to Goodwill to be turned into rags. So
released to the industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, other than weightlifting, what else are you getting into these days?
You know, it's funny. So this kind of screams pandemic. But the other thing that I'm getting into right now over the last couple of weeks has really been watching court sessions on Zoom online. You know, this is a thing. So, okay. So
like, you're talking like Law and Order, like court?
No.
Okay. Like, I was like, gonna say, like,
real,
like, true
like
crime?
Real crime, like real courts, like they're showing like you would be a juror at someone's court session, and they're showing these on YouTube actually. So there's this, the one that I watch the most is this Judge Jeffrey Middleton. He's a judge that's based out of somewhere in Illinois, and he's got 8,500 subscribers on YouTube. So people that are just watching court processions. I mean,
that's it.
It absolutely amazes me. I don't know why. It's just because I think what it is more than anything is that it is that I'm the kind of person that likes to go to a mall just to be able to see what people are so like, how people, they're reacting.
Their natural element.
Exactly. This is its own element in itself. You know, people that show up to court, go to court, not only the people that go to court, but the lawyers as well. And it almost, I mean, it creates its own drama. You have these people that come in, these lawyers that you see over and over again, because they're always being called back. They're either public attorneys or whatever, but, they always show up and you find yourself rooting for them. And there was that one point where they actually had a chat that was open while the live video was going on. All the people that
are like watching it or just like chatting away.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was absolutely wild, but of course someone had to come in and spoil it. They started just posting nasty things just because they can. And so they turned off the chat. Yeah. So they turned off the chat, but it was hilarious because you had a couple of people that were in there, and I'll say it. I was doing it as well, where I was actually in there and we were talking about, you know, how we were going to be, trying to court the courtroom, you know, and trying to court the chat and, you know, saying, yep, you know, this person, you know, he looks guilty. They sound guilty or something like that. Just having a conversation about it. So
interesting.
It was absolutely fun. And I subscribed. So it pops up in my feed.
So have you ever been a juror in like real life or anything?
Just once. Yeah.
Was it as stimulating as this live feed or?
Honestly, I thought so. I enjoyed being a part of the jury duty. So like I said, I've only done it once. It wasn't a criminal case. It was kind of boring, but it was just really fascinating to be able to see that in action, just to see our system, our judicial system in action. Because I don't know myself, I've always wanted to stay far away from law, stay far away from anything, because it was a lot of memorization and trying to just, you know, do what you had to stay on the straight and narrow. And I didn't want to buck the system or in a way that I would ever have to be a part of the system. So I just never paid attention to it. But yeah, just the whole process has always just kind of intrigued me. So yeah, so I got selected for the jury and, you know, everyone's like, oh gosh, it's too bad you got selected. It was a week long, so it wasn't too bad. No. And I ended up, because they had 14 people actually go through and witness everything, but they only selected 12. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the alternates that got booted at the end. So I didn't actually get to make a decision, but I was there that whole week's time.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. So, but it was funny. It was one of those things that I, you know, I'm the kind of guy that ends up making some kind of a, a name for myself, no matter what, or the scenario.
Or nickname.
Yeah, exactly. So I was known as Juror 13 because that's when I came out, and we always, before that happened, everyone was always laughing about saying, oh, who's going to be Juror 13. And so when they called my name as one of the alternates,
this fucking guy,
the whole jury, it just went, oh. And so the judge is like, well, I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but
So when the bailiff called afterwards, because they asked you, they said, do you want to know how the jury deliberated and everything and how it went, since you're not going to be able to be here to see it? I said, sure. And so when the bailiff called, he said, yeah, is this Juror 13?
Yes, it is.
Yes, nice. Absolutely. And he started laughing and I did too. And he said, I don't know, you guys had must have the greatest time in there, because
you're not supposed to have fun. This is justice.
Right, exactly. But I was like, you know, you got to make the fun of it, whatever you're doing.
True.
Yeah.
All right.
Never served jury duty, knock on wood. I know my brother has served like 3 or 4 times. I was like, who did you piss off at the courthouse?
That's funny.
But, you know, I like really enjoyed true crime. There's a couple podcasts I listen to. I really like Sword and Scale. It can get pretty dark, but they get a little more into like the procedure, which I always think is kind of fascinating, from the investigation to the actual like prosecution, playing tapes and audio recordings from the actual like trials. So
okay.
For anybody who's a true crime fan, Sword and Scale is very, very well done.
Yeah. I've heard great things about it.
Sometimes it's very graphic, though. Like, I know Dusty can't listen to it. He doesn't have my appetite for gore, despite also being a horror fan. So this is a hard pass for him. But, yeah, you know, everyone's got to find something.
Well, I think it's also probably that difference between being able to watch a horror show and watch the gore and having it being explained to you and you imagine it yourself.
Well,
you
know, and even because hearing like actual 911 calls where it's just like, you know, this is the last call that person makes, or hearing something in the background and knowing like, oh, that's someone actually being murdered. Like, that's a whole different level of terror than just like, oh, this actress running away from a guy with a knife. Although Dusty will actually react the same way to both. So we famously went to the Evil Dead, like the remake they had, I don't know how many years ago, but we went to the theater to see it. And there's a scene where the gal takes like a piece of glass from the mirror and starts cutting her face off. You don't see it though, but you can hear it. And Dusty like started dry heaving. He got up and left the theater because it was grossing him out so much. And I'm just kind of like, well, don't take the popcorn with you. Jeez.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. He's like, I had to leave. I was going to throw up or pass out.
Like, he wouldn't be one for the Dr. Pimple Popper then, huh?
No, you know, Dusty, he can't even handle like the sight of blood.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how he handled being in the same room when our child was born. It was just like, eyes up here, eyes up here. Okay. We're getting
That's impressive.
This.
That's yeah. impressive. Absolutely.
That sheet's important. You just keep that up and you eyes up here.
I only laugh so much because I know of the sheet.
Yeah, you know.
I've gone through it. I remember telling him,
like, well, there's going to probably be a lot of blood. And he's just like, no, I want to be there with you. I'm like, okay, well, you'd be, like, right up by my shoulder. Like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. When
it gave me something to fixate on, you know. Yeah. I'm giving birth, but are you okay?
So
that doesn't shock you the least, does it?
No. So when Brody was born, he was born cesarean. It was an emergency C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because, Donna was put on the table. They put the sheet up and then they brought her down even further. So I was there in there with her. And then she's like, keep me below the sheet. And then I was hunched over hard.
Your back's hurting?
My back's hurting. It was starting to spasm. I was just like, nope, I don't care. I'm sitting up. I'm not going to be able to handle this. And so I was sitting up and, you know, I didn't watch the
incision.
I didn't want to watch this incision or anything going on there. So I kind of stayed at a place where I was able to be able to have that blocked. However, you know, I watched Brody come out. I watched him being born and it was funny. So it was right before or after he came out or the doctor brought him out. There was a spurt of blood that came up and literally went up like 3 feet in the air and came down like right in like the on the doctor, like he had this little
like something out of Aliens, just like
that. Yeah, it was just a splip, blip, and I was just like, I almost started laughing. It was comical. I mean, it was this beautiful moment.
Like, oh God, what's that?
It's like watching the fountains at the mall, you know.
Nice, little squirt gun.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
So it was.
Donna
good.
Probably would not appreciate you to start like laughing maniacally while she's.
I had to wait. Child. I had to wait about 3 years to tell her about.
Appropriate amount of time had passed. Good man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I knew that one was one that I had to just hold on to for a little bit. I think
that's
it was
a good
right
story
around
for the graduation party. You know, Brody's 18, he's graduating, he's got all his friends there, and you're like, I got a buddy, I got a story for you, little buddy.
Oh my goodness. It was one of those cases where I was like, I wish that I had a camera for this, because it was it was funny. It was so comical. Yeah, I think it was right around when Zoe was born, when I told her about that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Zoe's birth was a lot easier because it wasn't cesarean, so we were able to VBAC and have naturally, but and it was in a regular hospital.
I feel like Zoe like kick punched her way out of there. She just like bam bam.
Oh, she wasn't
doing anything subtle. So
no, she was. They had to adjust her a little bit because she wasn't coming out the right way. But yeah. So it was a completely different experience.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. Transition.
Oh, well, I mean, your I guess turn. Awkward transition. So talking about blood and guts.
Yeah.
Something I'm getting into is bar soap.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about this
perfect.
Before, but I wanted to give
this.
A shout out to a local soap company, Sweetgrass Soapery. They just opened up a storefront this last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And they have the best soap. I always hear that like millennials are killing the soap business, which we're killing everything. Anybody who's not a boomer apparently is just killing anything because they're not buying enough stuff. But I've always liked bar soap. I have stupid sensitive skin. And so it's really hard to find like soap that smells nice, that makes your skin clean, that doesn't make you break out in horrific rashes.
Uh-huh.
And like the Sweetgrass soap, it's awesome. It's all like local ingredients. It's woman owned. It's indigenous persons owned. And then their shop, they also have shampoo, face wash, like sagegrass for wow. cleansing your home, making it smell pretty. So I went down there and blew a bunch of money on bar soap.
Nice.
I don't know what I'm going to do with like 10 bars of soap, but I'll find a way to use it.
Hey, you know, it doesn't go old, so
it
you
doesn't
use
get
it
bad.
Eventually.
And, you know, yeah. I'm like, you know, because like this time last year when we were all getting plunged into the pandemic and I realized that you couldn't find soap anywhere. Everyone was buying handfuls of soap. So I found this company and I bought like their box of soap samples because we needed something to wash our hands maniacally.
Yeah.
And it's kind of started my love affair with this business ever since. Everything they've done so far has been online. So I'm super excited to have a shop I can go and actually like smell all the soaps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just the pleasure of smelling bars of soap in public. but yeah, they have a website, sweetgrasssoapery.com. They ship Perfect. Anywhere in the country. So if you want to support a women-owned, Native American-owned business, they have fantastic soaps. I highly recommend. They have one that's called like Smoke Signals. It's kind of like a musky sort of odor, but it's very light, kind of leaves like a light scent on your skin and very nice.
Nice.
And if you have sensitive skin, it's great. Like it's
yeah.
one of the few bar soaps I've tried. Cause I've bought some soap from, like, I have a lot of friends that make soap and I've tried them cause I want to support my friends' businesses, but some of them like they're overly perfumey or they leave like a film on your skin or they just straight up make you break out in a rash. Mm-hmm. I just don't tell them that and just throw the soap away. so like
you,
friends listening
that
I haven't
part,
bought more soap from you. Sorry. That's probably why.
But
it doesn't mean
part.
Your soap is bad. It just means it's not good for me.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we also have a really good like soap shampoo, which I wish I could use again, but you know, I guess you can't really see in this light, but my hair is bright purple.
Yeah.
And so I use like color depositing shampoo, which means I can't use like fancy, like good smelling shampoo.
Oh, okay.
It also turns my bathtub purple. So bonus.
Fun.
Yeah.
Is it because of the shampoo is turning it purple or because
it like leaves a little bit of dye in your hair so that it actually stays pretty purple?
Where do you find that at?
Ulta.
Okay. No,
just
that's fine.
Nice. It's the same company that makes the dye I use. So it actually matches pretty good and
great.
It gives me an excuse to have purple eyebrows. So good things all the time. Yeah. I adore going to the grocery store and having little girls point at my hair and go, "Mommy, look at her hair. I want hair like that." I'm like, "You can." I'm sort of a boss lady with purple hair. Every once in a while, I'd like step back and be like, "Yeah, I'm almost a 40-year-old woman covered in tattoos with purple hair that has a company car." All right. Working professional boss lady.
Well, but your color purple though isn't like the lilac, you know, the no, real light purple. So
I'm that's trying to why... remember the name isn't very helpful because I think it's called like purple unicorn is being dumb, but
well, it looks more like a purple. Yeah, it looks more like a red, like a real deep auburn.
And here it looks like red because the light in here, but yeah, in like the light, it's almost more of a grape color.
Okay, I see. Yeah,
Zoe likes you know for your bangs.
Zoe likes to do purple every now and then for her hair, and we've done different things, but especially with her hair, it just gets dry. Washed out. There we go. Right away. And just trying to find some easier ways. Yeah,
get the color depositing shampoo. It'll make it last for at least a month. I probably have to touch it up about every 30 days, but...
You know, it's funny you mentioned Ulta, though, because that's probably one of the places where Donna just does not ever want to go into that place.
I've only just got comfortable going in there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. I feel like
I'm not girly enough to go there. So like, maybe this is all part of my girl journey.
Quick break. You're still listening to I Could Get Into This, but here's a question for you. If this was replaced by an ad, would you be upset? Let's get back to the show.
Right.
It reminds me of like, so did you remember ever hearing about the buckle challenge?
No.
So the buckle was famously, I think it's still a thing. I haven't gone to the mall in so long, but like
the buckle's there.
Was kind of like the high end, like rich kid, like clothing store in the mall.
I shopped at the buckle.
Their salespeople were famously paid on commission. And so they would like swarm you when you came in. Like, even if you were just looking at something in the window, they'd be like, "Can I help you? Would you like to try that on?"
Yeah.
So we used to have the buckle challenge, which was to get to the back of the store and touch the wall and leave without anybody at the buckle talking to you.
Okay.
I was an expert at this because apparently wearing polyester and bell bottoms in like the early aughts is a clear sign that you are not a buckle customer.
So that makes me feel sad though, because I would go to shop at the buckle all the time. They would never talk to me.
Oh yeah. I would be the group of girls and they would talk to like everybody but me. I'm just like, well, I'm not gonna buy those stupid like silver jeans for $200, but yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. So my parents were ones that I always believed that you had to have the latest fashion so that you'd be accepted and all that bullshit. I never liked it. But they paid for my clothes. So, you know, it's one of those things that I did a lot of shopping at the buckle, but it was usually, it was usually me looking around and seeing what I like. And then one of my parents having to chase someone down and say, "Hey, can you help my son?"
Like, I really can't wait for this episode to go live. Cause I want to find out if other people, if they know what the buckle challenge is, or if there's an equivalent to like other chains around the country.
Yeah. No, I've heard of it because I've definitely heard of it, but I couldn't remember if it was the buckle or if it was, I can't think of what other one. There was something else that
I remember this store similar. Called the, I think it was like the 579 store.
Okay.
And I just remember that like the biggest size like jeans they sold was a size 9.
That's why it was 5, 7, 9.
Newsflash, like teenage Leah did not fit into a size 9 jean. And I remember like wanting so badly to like buy clothes from that place and just being like, oh, like I can't even buy stuff from Delia's catalog because it's too expensive, but it's so cute.
Oh, funny.
Man, you remember ordering like Delia's. I never ordered any clothes from like magazines, but I remember like one time a Delia's magazine accidentally got like mailed to our house. I'm just like circling all these, you know, the pipe tees with the rainbow stripes and the pants with the pinstripes on the side. I'm just like, I'm going to wear all these and be cool next year. You're going to see.
Oh my. No, that wasn't me.
You know, I think this is a byproduct of being a military kid because we moved all the time.
Sure.
And I always felt like every time I moved, it'd be like, there's going to be like definitely a screenplay about this someday. But every time it was just like, this is the new Leah. These kids don't know me. I'm going to be cool this year. Like, cut to Leah a la Kimmy Schmidt wearing like, you know, the 90s choker and like the little skater boys t-shirt with her mini backpack walking into school and then ever being like, who's this bitch? This bitch is new Leah.
Oh, my God. No,
same Leah. What time is marching band practice? Stay tuned, kids. It'll happen someday. Painful, like, 90s adolescence TV shows. It'll be trending here soon. The nostalgia train is coming.
Oh, I just saw that Mayim Bialik is trying to get Blossom to be remade.
What? You can't improve on perfection.
Well, and I don't know if it's remade or to
reimagined to bring it back.
Well, or, you know, it's her, but it's her kids, you know, kind of like they did with Boy Meets World with Girl Meets World.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really check that out.
We watched it because it's a family show, you know, so the kids, my daughter, my wife, they absolutely loved it. It was funny because we went to go watch Boy Meets World because it's like, oh, here's Girl Meets World. This is, you know, where everything comes from. And then Boy Meets World, they got into some racy subjects, you know, talking about sex or something like that. And my daughter's like 4 years old at the time. It's like, maybe this is a little early yet for that.
You need to really start them with a good foundation. Like Clarissa Explains It All.
Right. There you go.
That show really taught me how to be a girly girl.
It explained it all.
Dangly earrings. I had
to say that.
Obnoxious younger brothers.
Right.
Having a best friend that's a dude.
Yeah.
That somehow has a ladder into your bedroom, but you know.
Yeah. Nothing creepy about that at all.
You couldn't sneak up on her though. The music always played. So.
Right. Yeah, you always
the intro
knew.
Music for every character.
No, unfortunately, times. I think my wife she missed out on that because she didn't have cable growing up, so Clarissa wasn't something that she got to watch. So
how did she learn everything?
I don't know.
She learned it all, but no one explained it to her. It's quite
She had sisters, you know, she was the seventh sister out of the family.
I was the oldest sister. So I had to have this knowledge given to me to give to my younger sister.
There you go.
That's how you cut your bangs. Now hold still and let me get the scotch tape. Fun story. I did convince my sister to do like my poor sister. Hi, Laura. I know you don't listen to this show because you cannot figure out podcasts. She's 2 years younger than me, but she was always a good sport for like anything I wanted to do. And I remember in high school, she wanted to have blonde hair. And so we like went to the beauty supply store and got like a bleach kit. And I didn't, just like now as an adult, I did not read all the instructions. And so I neglected to put the toner into the bleach solution until about halfway through the process. And so her hair turned like kind of orange with like blue streaks because we didn't probably wash all the toner out. And because we really wanted to double down on this new look for her, we also bleached her eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they were like orange. They looked like two Cheetos. And then she had this hair. And now so she's freaking out after we wash it. And I'm just like, okay, we don't need to talk to mom. We're just going to go down to the drugstore. We're just going to buy brown hair dye. And we're just going to cover this up.
Yeah.
That's what I learned, that if you try to cover up toner with brown, you get green. So I ended up having to spend a lot of my babysitting money to give my sister to get all the color stripped out of her hair at the salon. And then have it dyed dark, like brown to cover up everything they couldn't get out. And then she had to endure like a month of growing out these like calico eyebrows.
Oh my gosh.
I don't
know
how my sister talked to me ever again.
Oh my gosh. How old was this too?
Oh, I think she was like a freshman in high school because I was like a junior. So like I could just got my driver's license. So it's like, we don't have to tell mom. We're just going to go to Family Drive and buy this. Mistakes were made.
Oh, but that's always the most memorable.
I know. She wonders why she's got a complex about her eyebrows now. And like, don't touch them.
Microblading.
They grew back just fine.
Yeah, microblading. She just has to get involved with microblading.
She actually did that. She's the one who told me about it because my family has famously tiny little eyebrows. And that's why I thought it was funny because we were supposed to get tattoos together like years ago and she chickened out and then she went and got basically a face tattoo. Like,
right.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
They look really nice though.
Yeah, good. Just have to tell her she has to get a tattoo on her neck now.
Well, we do have our matching sister tattoos now.
You just did that, yeah.
Yeah, I need to get mine retouched because apparently getting a tattoo on your wrist and then wearing wrist guards for like a week doesn't do any favors for the healing process. But I do enjoy like correcting people when they ask if it's a horseshoe.
Oh, what is it supposed to be instead?
It's a toilet seat.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it looks like a horseshoe, though.
Yeah, so like my sister and I have a long-running joke about a toilet seat. So when we decided we wanted to get sister tattoos at our birthdays this last month, I was like, all right, hear me out. What if we get toilet seats on our wrists? So everyone can see them. My sister's just like, okay. And like within an hour, we're sitting in the tattoo parlor getting tattoos. So,
well, better than the whole toilet.
I have a tattoo of a toilet seat.
Yeah.
Straight classy.
That's fine. That's fine. That will work.
It makes for a good story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what tattoos are all about, right?
Yeah.
All your tattoos have good stories.
Well, they have stories.
Well, because they're mostly right, your nicknames, right? Because you've got the legs are pretty well covered, aren't they?
Yeah. So the I got the calves. So I have the Frosty tattoo on one. And then the other one was actually a cherub that I had a friend of mine. Her mom was an artist. And so I asked her to draw a tattoo for me. Basically all I told her was I want to have a tattoo of an angel playing poker and smoking a cigar.
Yes.
And that's what it was. And
delivered.
And you know, they said, you know, what is it? What do you want to have the angel look like? And it's like, well, have it look like Baby Herman from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah, so that's what I have. So I have that, and then the leprechaun that I have is actually one that I made. I just drew it from Lucky Charms leprechaun, and gave it a glass of beer instead of a bowl of Lucky Charms, and I did that one because we. During the first podcast we did, at radio, we actually raised enough money for, my co-host at the time to get a tattoo. And, that was his first tattoo. And, so I kind of had the big thing where I was always given a tough time saying, nah, you're going to chicken out. You're such a chicken shit. You're going to chicken out of this. We're going to get money. We're going to raise money and you're going to get
and
a tattoo.
Get this fucking tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the guy that gave us a tattoo, he loved the story. So he actually gave three people tattoos with the money that we got from it. I was one of the three. Nice. And he got the tattoo and now he has more tattoos than I do.
Just a spark. You know, there's not many people I know that have one tattoo. Cause once you get one, you're like, well, this isn't really that bad. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, and once you start getting tattoos and you keep thinking of what you want next. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since that's actually the last one I had. So it's been 15 years since I've had any ink done. And, I definitely,
I was gonna say you're due.
I was looking at that stimulus check. I was looking at the stimmy.
I know. I'm torn between like getting a new tattoo or like getting some of my tattoos touched up. Cause I realize some of my tattoos are like 15 years old now. I'm like, oh, they're getting a little faded.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like do a spruce up or else, I don't know. There's always ideas for new tattoos.
Right. Yeah. I do want to at some time do Eeyore as a tattoo.
Yeah, you need an Eeyore tattoo.
I need to have an Eeyore Jameson tattoo. So that's going to probably be the next one, but it's just deciding on a style or where I want it. Cause I'm considering wanting to do something on my arms so that it's more visible. Like all the tattoos I have right now are completely hidden. So you can't see them unless I'm wearing shorts. You know, that's the only reason that you could see that. But yeah. Well, anything else that you're getting into the last couple of weeks?
I'm like really excited for spring, and so I'm investing heavily in lots of like ridiculous pastel colored things.
Okay.
So I spent like $60 on new tights. There's a company called Snag Tights, which I had not heard of, but I've actually seen their models because I hang out a couple different subs on Reddit that are all about like body positivity and like truth in advertising, especially when it comes to women's clothing, because there's nothing worse than buying something that was photoshopped onto like an idealized body. And yeah. Snag Tights has gorgeous models, real bodies, cellulite rolls, you know, people of every ethnicity, disability, hair color, like whatever. You're gonna find somebody that looks like you wearing their product, which I love. And everyone I've talked to that's bought their tights say they're high quality, because there's nothing worse than buying a pair of tights and then getting a snag in it right away.
Yeah.
And I have decided that like this is the year of me just wearing bright colored tights and booty shorts. So you heard it here. That's the look this year, kids. Get on board. I am excited to see coveralls taking off. I'm going to take credit for that one. But yeah, I think I bought like every color they had: purple, pink, light blue, dark blue, orange, yellow. I was really bummed they had like a black and white stripe, kind of like a la Beetlejuice. Sold out my size, but I'll tune back in.
Yeah. You got to keep posted for that one.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it technically stays in line with the work uniform. So we'll see how long that flies before somebody goes, hem.
No one will say anything. But old
lady, I don't care. My bright pink legs and my booty shorts. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, then you can just fuck off, because I've reached that point in my life.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care.
Wear them on a Friday. It doesn't matter what happens on Fridays.
It's true.
Donna's never been one into tights, but I will say that I got a pair of tights for a costume, and I really enjoyed them. It's one of those things. The only thing is,
your legs are all slippery and nice, and if you're me, you don't have to shave.
Yeah.
So bonus.
Right.
You also don't have to wear
right,
socks. Exactly. You can just stick your feet right in your shoes and.
Right.
I mean, it's not a perfect garment, but it's got some benefits.
The only thing I don't really, it has benefits, but I think only to someone that feels comfortable being naked. So myself.
Also, pro tip, inside out, put that seam on the outside.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Unless it's going to cause an issue, but.
And I'm just not the kind of person that likes feeling naked, not because I just don't, I feel exposed. I just don't like it. I like having,
I can get on board with that. Like, I'm not a dazer. Like, if dazer had her way, she would just be naked all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's, I'm kind of like an anti-pants person. Like, I had a come to Jesus moment where I realized, like, Zooks is at the age now where like mom probably has to wear pants around the house.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. He's getting to that age where it's just like, oh yeah, you probably need your mom not just walking around in a t-shirt and underwear on the weekends. So.
Right. Exactly.
Probably should also close my windows, but. I'm gonna like, oh, I guess I'll have to buy some like real pajamas, like a there parent. You go.
Yeah. So then that's the one thing with the pandemic. Donna's been really getting into is going braless for many, many days on
my
end.
Solidarity fist. Yeah.
Oh,
you go,
yeah.
Braless, baby.
Absolutely. She just bought a sports bra, she bought a sports bra for the first time in maybe 5 years. I mean, she's not one to wear a sports bra, and she's just like, yeah, I gotta just kind of get eased back into actually wearing a bra again. Because she's just like,
I usually kind of live in a sports bra on the weekend because I'm sort of a scrub, but I really like they have like lacy camisole tops that are sort of a hybrid. Like, you know, they're comfortable like a sports bra, but it kind of like looks like you care a little bit. So
right, exactly. Yeah. But she,
we're all gonna like ease out of our pandemic wardrobes eventually, and just kind of like, okay.
I know. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that. I really enjoyed wearing jeans every day, like I did when I was in the store.
Yeah.
You know, when I go out and visit places, they expect me to wear khakis. And I'm like,
khakis.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a khaki.
I
know.
I wore dress pants today for the first time in a long time, and I'm just like, oh, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Especially, you can get a nice pair of jeans that look really professional. You're really good.
Yeah, really, I mean, compliment my Flanders look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully.
you just need a tie with that, really. That's what it was.
I wish I had a tie. Like I really love androgynous style. I don't feel like I can really pull it off, but I think it's just because I don't have anything in my wardrobe that's really androgynous enough. But maybe that'd be a fall goal for me. You know, I'm sticking with my colorful tights. Maybe for fall, we'll look at more androgynous looks.
I think one thing you have to look for is that if you look for a tie, don't get anything that's really wide.
I like a thin tie.
Yeah, I think a thin tie would work out much better for you.
Yeah, it's more compliment, you know, elongates the form, all that good stuff. I like suspenders too, but they don't really cooperate with boobs. It's a problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you either have them going on the inside, going
it's
outside.
One side or the other, and it's just like, well, this is just awkward for everybody now.
Right.
You're like, I know, it's the same.
Yeah, yeah. They get in the way of my boobs all the time.
I like suspenders, though. I think they look good.
It's
a practical clothing device.
I love the idea of suspenders. I just don't like
it. It's just not for everybody.
Yeah, I don't like how because it always feels like you're getting a wedgie at all times.
Yeah, it's one way or the other. It's pulling the directions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember John at work, he just always is unflappable. I think he wears the same, like, hoodie every day. Right. But his whole thing, he's like, I love trends. That's all he ever says whenever me and, like, Molly start yipping and yapping about, like, fashion and stuff at work. But I'm like, yeah, trends are fun. Just, like... just not for everybody. Not every trend is for everybody, I should say.
That, yeah.
Like, I can't get on board with these high-waisted, like, cropped pants thing. Like, it is not a flattering look on my body. So I'm just not going to participate.
That, and that's a look that seems like it never goes away.
I feel like people are trying to constantly shove cropped pants in our face. And it's just like, no, this isn't a good look.
It doesn't.
Don't call them pedal pushers or clam diggers or whatever you want, Old Navy. We know it's you.
And they
this is my Old Navy conspiracy. They're just trying to, they've got a warehouse full of crop pants that were made in like the late 90s. And they were spending all these years trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
They're just tearing the tags off and giving them new names.
Right.
I'm on to you, Old Navy.
That would explain that whenever I buy something from Old Navy, it like disintegrates right away.
Oh, yeah, so. I wash it once and it's just like, where do all these holes come from?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It is a conspiracy. Yeah. I mean, I know they make like purposely cheap clothes so that it just turns into rags after you wash it like one season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a reason I don't ever run into Old Navy stuff at the thrift shops.
It's very true. It's very true. All right.
Well, we're winding down on that conspiracy note.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we get that one going? The conspiracy, like hashtag tell the truth, Old Navy crop pants. We're on to you.
We're on to you. We know the truth.
We got that in the buckle challenge. We're going to put those out in the world and we're going to see who bites on it.
Perfect. Yeah.
Awesome.
I didn't have anything else. I do have one other thing I wanted to talk about, but did you have anything else that you were...
No, I'm kind of out of steam in conspiracy theories for now.
Perfect. That's a great place to end the regular show.
Yeah.
What I was going to bring up is I just had someone that joined us online, and it's someone that's from town. Her name's Jill Bloom. I don't know if you know her or not. I see her on Twitter a lot, but I've been on Twitter for way too long and I've gotten way too involved with certain communities. The Sioux Falls Twitter community, I feel like I know like everyone in town, even though I have no idea who they are.
Right.
You know, type thing. I've had conversations with Jill in the past, but I don't know if she remembers that. However, she just started joining our I Could Get Into This page on Twitter. And that's if you want to join us. We're at IC Get Into This. The reason why I bring that up is because I made a intro that I kind of make fun of that. So you'll see that I made new intros last weekend. I think I did about six intros and five outros and a couple of mid-tros.
Outros.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we have 10 intros altogether for me to pick from to be able to add to our shows. But anyway, Jill brought up, she was, I sent her the regular message that I sent to everyone else saying, hey, tell us what you're getting into. And she says, oh my God, I like so many weird things. And then she goes, y'all, I think I might be too weird even for them. I question that.
I do have earrings I made out of my own tooth.
Right, exactly.
That I wear frequently now.
Yeah. So I mean, once you get to that and the vulture culture and, you know, hobby horse dressage and, you know, things like that.
We're not that weird.
I don't think we're that weird, but how can you get much weirder than that? I mean,
I don't know. I did meet somebody that I'm trying to convince to be a guest at our show, but he and his wife used to live in an Airstream, travel around to like county fairs with like 13 dogs and do like dog performances.
Oh my gosh.
He was literally a canine carny. I was like, oh, amazing. This is why we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Collect weird people.
He doesn't want to be on the show.
So,
oh yeah,
you should have him on the show sometime. Well, I'm going to see him Wednesday at skate night. So
there you go. You have to find out a little bit more about his story though, because
he did give me a business card. So I keep it on hand in case I need to have any hexes removed.
You said
it's one of the many services listed. Primarily food delivery. He's the dashing Prince Mort.
Okay.
The dashing pirate, you know, because he does DoorDash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does the pirate thing during that too, huh?
Yep, that's kind of his shtick. He comes roller skating every Wednesday with the Wednesday crew. He's obviously wearing his pirate stuff. Envision more like Wesley from Princess Bride versus like, you know, Captain Hook, more of like, you know, the dashing pirate look. And he usually has a parrot on a fake parrot on his shoulder while he skates.
That's
and
great.
He just got light up wheels, so he's clearly the coolest person that comes roller skating on Wednesdays.
Oh my gosh, other than you, right?
Obviously. Well, I'll talk to Mort, see if he's game to be one of our guests. Who doesn't want to talk to a roller skating pirate?
I keep thinking when you explain him, I keep thinking of what's his name, Pirate Steve from Dodgeball. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or, you know, our friend Steve, the pirate, the one that dresses like a pirate.
Right.
That's right. Mort, if you're listening to this, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jill, I invited Jill. I said, yeah. Jill, if you think you're too weird for us,
how about you just come on the show?
Yeah. We can, there's a lot of things we can get into that we just don't know about yet. And that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. We are open to the weird.
Yeah. We need to get more weird in here. And, I don't know if we've gotten into that yet.
We haven't tapped out the weird yet, but no, we'll get there someday.
There's a lot more weird out there and things get weirder all the time. I have been, finding there's so getting back to something we've mentioned before, the slapping competitions. Remember about that? So the guy that introduced me to the slapping competitions, he started posting these competitions that are in like India. And, so there's like a full sport around, it's not so much the slapping aspect. It's being able to kind of, here's a line in the sand. You need to cross this line and that's it.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Type thing. So, so it's really, really been interesting. I'm going to have to find out a little bit more about that.
It just started homework assignment for the next show.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. To find out more about it. There was a specific name for it. And like I said, it wasn't revolving around the slapping aspect, but there was a lot of slapping going involved. And it was kind of like a pro wrestling part to it too. So, you know, they'd you know, do one of those things where they'd say, come here. And they do a little slap and then they run away. Like, I mean, it's just, I could imagine like if he was like a little person, you know, doing that to a full size person, that's exactly how it would look like. So, and on that note,
yeah, it's Taco Tuesday. Dusty's upstairs getting tacos ready. So
perfect.
We'll part ways. And until next time,
that's it.
We're working ending. On a, this is why you have the pre-recorded outros and intros to make us sound more better. I'm out of brain cells.
I don't know if more better is the best term for that, but we'll see.
All right. Well, see Crest out.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
What you just got done listening to was I Could Get Into This with Brett and Leah. If you would like to share with Brett and Leah what you are getting into, please make sure to contact them. Do something. You can send them messages on Facebook. I'm sure you have their personal accounts. On Twitter, they have their own personal accounts as well as my account, Voiceover Brett. I am the Twitter account voice, so whenever you read posts from I Could Get Into This, you can read it in this voice.